Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the Radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've seen people almost go to the bathroom in their pants in his presence.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
All right, well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, as we, I think we start on a really, really somber note this afternoon with the tragedy from the weekend, which, unfortunately, for a lot of the country, and for the NBA, and for the NFL, and for Major League Baseball, I guess, it doesn't matter, that a black life was lost here in St. Louis. 29-year-old Tamaris Bohannon, been a St. Louis police officer for 4 years, shot in the head, dead after this incident from the weekend. And, you know, you have the typical people who have said nothing in defense of the police, like Lyda Cruz and the mayor and Kim Gardner, the circuit attorney, and others who are now rallying to the cause after basically... Now, this is a little different than some of the things that have happened in the aftermath of the protests, but still, isn't it convenient that they can come out now and offer support to the police when the police don't really have their support? And this is just a terrible situation from the weekend. It's an odd situation. Let me play a little audio here from the two people who basically had their home invaded by this guy the other night. This is Steve and Mimi Hogg. They say they're grateful to be alive. This guy busts into their home. They basically get out. He barricades himself, and they were watching when this officer made his way down the alley and was shot. Here's the Hogs.
All of a sudden, I heard this guy kind of screaming, I've been shot. And then I came back in, and there was my husband at the front door in our foyer with a man standing there. So I'm looking at my husband, and I'm seeing this man, and I didn't look at his hand, but I saw something dark in his hand. And he said, "Ma'am, hang up your phone."
I says, "Well, who are you? You need to leave." And he says, "No, I don't think so."
Yeah, so that's the transient guy that basically goes in. He's a big guy, too. He had a mohawk, but Steve Hogg said he was dressed normally, so he barricades himself. That was basically the audio describing what led up to the cops coming, and then there's this.
And so we're talking to him. I hear a pop, and I look over, and the officer's just laying on the sidewalk where he'd been shot. Those who want to defund the police need to rethink that. They stand between us and this kind of stuff.
I can't believe this happened, and that we walked out of that house without that man shooting us, with standing there in our foyer with his gun.
Yeah, Steve Hogg said something there. You know, I think that was important. This is what these cops deal with this all the time and on a regular basis. And, you know, let's go back to Kenosha, because there are different narratives that are now, and look, those of you who listen to the show, it's like preaching to the choir. You know that these things get jumped on without any facts. We knew that at the time with the situation in Kenosha with Jacob Blake, and now we're finding different narrative that, you know, exists from that. And by the way, the facts that are emerging that challenge the narrative in the Blake case also challenge the narrative on Kyle Rittenhouse. Washington Post has a big story today. He's the kid, you know, the 17-year-old kid that went up there and he killed two people. He's charged with murder. But all you have to do is look at the video. I mean, someone at one point was trying to slam him in the head with a skateboard, which apparently is a new Antifa move. They bring these skateboards. There's a Michelle Malkin's got a great montage of a bunch of these incidents around the country where these skateboards are brought, because I think they feel like it's not going to be identified as a weapon, and now it is. So, look, we know that this officer, Tamras Bohannon, is not a black life that matters to LeBron James or the Milwaukee Bucks or the Milwaukee Brewers or the NFL or a lot of people around here, because it's not a white cop shooting a black guy. That doesn't fit the narrative. It's not going to get attention. It's not going to get media attention. You know what gets media attention right now? Here's what's funny. There's been a huge amount of coverage. The Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, in making the American people believe that there is no violence. That Scott Jennings brought this up a short time ago. Our friend down in Louisville who joins us. You know, they'll convince you there is no violence. If you watched Fox and CNN from the last couple of weeks or in the aftermath of George Floyd, it's like you're watching the news from two different countries. CNN will barely show you any of the violence. So they spent all this time convincing the American people that, you know, this is just isolated. Portland, that's just isolated, what's happening. Cities aren't actually burning. There's no level of violence that should concern you. Joe Biden shows up after the polls indicate that he might be in a little trouble here when it comes to crime issues, and Donald Trump's going to own that, mainly because the American people are overwhelmingly, well, I shouldn't say that, because for whatever reason, those of you who vote Democrat don't seem to be bothered by the looting. I don't get that. I mean, I'm just going on the polling here that tells me that more than half of America thinks it's outrageous, but Democrats don't think it's outrageous. They're okay with it. So Biden shows up today, finally. He's in Pittsburgh. We're going to talk with Selena Zito a little bit later. She's in Pennsylvania. And he finally has to admit that there's violence, and the same media committed to the previous narrative is swooning all over him right now. Can someone help me explain that? I think that's sort of a rhetorical question. So he finally makes his speech today. And I mean, I'm telling you, I was watching Twitter when this was going on, and they're just, oh, Uncle Joe, thank you. This is a great speech. Thank you for saying this, Joe Biden. It's about time that somebody says this. So here's where he says this is Trump's America, basically. This is Trump's America.
Trump and Pence are running on this, and I find it fascinating. Quote, you won't be safe in Joe Biden's America. And what's their proof? The violence we're seeing in Donald Trump's America. These are not images of some imagined Joe Biden America in the future. These are images of Donald Trump's America today. He keeps telling you, if only he was president, it wouldn't happen. If he was president, he keeps telling us that he was president, you'd feel safe. Well, he is president, whether he knows it or not. And it is happening. It's getting worse. And you know why? Because Donald Trump adds fuel to every fire.
Well, it's not a bad point, actually, given maybe some different circumstances, but you can't blame this one on Donald Trump. You can't blame the looting in Kenosha, the devastation in Chicago in the aftermath, Minneapolis in the aftermath of George Floyd, everywhere, really. That's not on Donald Trump. That's on the protesters who claim to be peaceful, and really the anarchists who align themselves with the Democrats. Black Lives Matters. I mean, that's who is to blame here. Okay, let's be honest about that. But Joe Biden says, after being quiet about this for a while because he doesn't want to upset a good portion of his base, he doesn't like the looting part.
I want to make it absolutely clear, something very clear about all of this. Rioting is not protesting. Looting is not protesting. Setting fires is not protesting. None of this is protesting. It's lawlessness, plain and simple. And those who do it should be prosecuted. Violence will not bring change. It'll only bring destruction. It's wrong in every way. It divides instead of unites. Destroys businesses, only hurts the working families that serve the community. It makes things worse across the board, not better.
I'm going to challenge that, Joe Biden, because I think looting is basically reparations. I've been told that by the leaders of Black Lives Matters, and I believe them, and I think you should believe them, because look at the result right now. Now, let me play one more Joe Biden bite here, where he says that he can fix all that ails us here when it comes to race in this country.
I believe we can bring these folks fighting for racial justice to the table. I've worked with police in this country for many years. I know most cops are good, decent people. I know how they risk their lives every time they put that shield on and go out the door. And I'm confident I can bring the police to the table as well. I'd make sure every mayor and governor had the support they needed from the federal government, but I wouldn't be looking to use the United States military against our own people. If I were president, my language would be less divisive. I'd be looking to lower the temperature in this country, not raise it. I'd be looking to unite the nation.
What are you supposed to do when mayors in the cities that are affected, like in Portland and elsewhere, won't do anything else to protect federal buildings? So these are the questions that maybe Joe Biden should be asked at a certain point, and he won't be. All right, so we're off and running here for Monday edition of the program. You can always follow on Twitter at Mark Reardon KMOX. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast. We had a good roundtable on Friday at KMOX.com/Reardon. You can even listen by downloading the radio.com app and rewind that up to 24 hours. And there's the Mark Reardon Show Facebook page as well. We have Jay Schroeder's coming up here. He's the president of the St. Louis Police Officers Association. I know he's exhausted too after this weekend. He'll reflect and react on the shooting death of Tamaris Mohanan here in a couple of minutes. I mentioned Selena Zito, who's a CNN political commentator. She's the author of The Great Revolt and really called this election in 2016 ahead of a lot of people. And I'm really interested in taking her temp on what's happening in Pennsylvania. Joe Biden again today says he's not going to stop fracking. His opponent, Kamala Harris, has taken a stand against fracking. This is big in Pennsylvania, by the way. Bernie Sanders has taken a stand against fracking. Joe Biden has agreed with that. So which is it? What side is true? And then we're going to maybe have a little fun with this in the 3 o'clock hour. However, I think some of it's serious as well. I ran across something. Well, I didn't run across it. There was somebody last week that tweeted at me, Lauren Johnson, because she saw that I mentioned that it was the first day of kindergarten for my daughter, Alexa. And you can kind of search through Twitter and find keywords, and that way you can get new followers and things along those lines. Anyway, this is a woman who is heading a movement to get Amazon to accept that Alexa is a human, like my daughter, and change the name of its popular device. I'm guessing she's not going to have a lot of luck, but we'll talk about it in the next hour. We'll also get some new numbers from Dr. Garza, and Total Information PM starts at 4 o'clock on this Monday afternoon on KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
All right, well, again, unfortunately, we have to spend some time on, because a lot of the media won't, of course, this won't get any attention nationally, and that's unfortunate, maybe just a little bit. There were a couple of police officers, unfortunately, shot in Chicago as well, but this always gets overshadowed because it doesn't fit the narrative. Jay Schroeder is the president of the St. Louis Police Officers Association. I know you're just absolutely exhausted and wiped out, and I'm sure emotionally devastated, Jay, as well, but thanks for coming on this afternoon, and how are the officers right now? Because this is never easy dealing with something like this.
I think they're doing all right. They're holding up. You know, a lot of these guys. It's been a while for us since we've had we had Daryl Hall who was killed a few years back. He was off duty and intervened in a crime, but it's been since David Haynes that we've had a policeman killed in the line of duty. And a lot of these guys haven't experienced that, so a lot of it's the first time for some of these guys, and I think they're having a little trouble with it, but we'll keep working through it. You know, they lean on each other, and I think we'll get through this. But it's always tragic. You hate to get that call, you know, that something's happened. I was working the day it happened, and it, you know, that's just. It's the worst feeling in the world.
And I always think about, you know, the families, not only, of course, the family of Mr. Bohannon, but this has to have a ripple effect through every family, every spouse, you know, husband, wife, child, mother, father, when they hear something like this, because they know that, you know, if you put yourself into duty like this, that's certainly a possibility.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's, you know, I guess I'm lucky. My wife is a retired policeman, so she gets it. But for some of these people, and my family's been policemen, so I don't have. They know the risks, so I don't mm-hmm. have to have that stress. But it's there for these other families. I mean, this is a dangerous job, and it's getting more and more dangerous every year. We had five policemen shot on Friday. I mean, two-fifths of the and across the country, and two of them were in St. Louis. So I mean, this job is getting more and more dangerous. I would imagine some of these families are starting to feel the pressure of that.
You know, in this situation, this guy, Tom Kinworthy Jr., who's being held right now in the St. Louis City Jail, he had a warrant issued in Florida. He skipped a court date because he was charged in a sexual battery and kidnapping case. So this is another guy, and you know this, you know, most of these things are not isolated. People have a history here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of struggling to deal with, you know, why is this guy out of jail? He had a pretty significant criminal history. This is just another time where there's somebody out on the street that shouldn't be there. And if this guy wasn't there, Officer Bohannon would be, you know, working his shift right now. So it's frustrating at times.
Yeah, Jay, what can you tell us? I know that we had the folks from Backstoppers on this morning, but obviously he had a family, and the one thing that I hear from people all the time, even emails today and some, you know, responses on Twitter, is what can people do? Because I think that we do have a situation where, unfortunately, in tragedies like this, the community does want to help. Where can you guide us in that direction?
You know, if people want, they can contact the St. Louis Police Officers Association, and we can get them out to whoever they need to get to. We have some contacts, so we can... if they want to call the SLPOA hall, and we can get them to where they need to be.
And as far as just overall support right now, understanding what officers have gone through, you know, certainly in the aftermath of George Floyd and the continued protests and everything that's been happening, I mean, this just adds to that level of stress and, you know, complication, doesn't it? Something like this when it happens?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, you know, this 2020 has been like the worst year of my life. So, it's a compounding effect. Policemen are starting to feel that. I think even across the country, you know, I mean, it's been a constant, and then you throw something like this on top of it. It does make it a lot harder, but these guys are strong-willed. I mean, these are good guys. They're going to get through this. We're all going to get through this together. We've done it before. We'll do it again. And they're going to do the same thing tomorrow. You know, that they're going to get up and they're going to go to work. And that's what they're going to do. So.
And we appreciate it. St. Louis Police Officers Association President Jay Schroeder. Thanks, Jay. I know it's been a tough few days again. Yeah, take care. You know, and this all ties in with, and this is what I want people to think about, just in relation to the Jacob Blake shooting from last week, because I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the narrative is changing because now the facts are coming out. I mean, I was one who dared, and I know that some of you out there dared to wait a couple of weeks ago until the facts came out. And now the facts are coming out just a little bit. And this is what I think you should think about in relation to what the cops deal with on a regular basis. So the cops are dispatched to the home of the on-again, off-again girlfriend, who now wants to claim she's a victim as well, which I love because she's looking for a check. So she calls 911. The dispatcher tells the officers the guy's not supposed to be there and that he took the complainant's keys and is refusing to give them back. So then a moment later, the dispatch informs officers we have an alert at this address for a 99 for this subject, meaning there's a warrant, outstanding warrant out for Blake's arrest. They don't even get there yet, but the dispatch informs them the caller had become uncooperative and said Blake had left and then hung up. Blake's family and the police present two starkly different versions of what occurred at that point. Video, audio, and physical evidence can confirm the following. This is from a great recap that was done on The Federalist this morning by Margo Cleveland, who's been a guest on this show. So then you got some things that are a little bit, we don't know exactly what happened, but look, it's a little bit more than just a white cop shoots a black guy seven times in the back. So you have... for the most part, the media, most people in this country, certainly professional athletes, have no understanding of what constitutes reasonable force and what happened here. Now, this is another one of those things where it's lawful but awful. And I'm with everyone who would say, wait a second, you know, seven shots, is that something? But if it was one shot, would you change your mind? So what we know here is in the videos, Blake appeared to be armed with a knife. We know that a knife was found in the car that he was reaching into. Although, in fairness, it's still a question mark whether he possessed it during the altercation with police. A little unclear. Could have been armed. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was. So that goes to the issue of the justified use of force. That's one thing right there. Did the suspect pose a threat to the officers? Well, we don't know. The definition is an officer need not wait until a suspect knives or shoots someone, but may anticipatorily use a weapon to protect himself or others. In other words, if it's perceived as a threat of attack, apart from the actual attack, then the officer may respond. So the definition of, you know, the ability to use deadly force here is going to be the key. But beyond that, there are a lot of things here that happened that nobody wants to talk about. There used to be a day in journalism where the New York Times or CNN or some of the other outlets out there would actually take a look at this, and it wouldn't be a website like The Federalist that has a bias that would just take a look at the facts of the case. Somebody else would look at the facts of the case. The Washington Post actually did that today with the Rittenhouse shooting. They didn't do it with the Blake shooting. They did it with the Rittenhouse shooting, which I thought was interesting. But even in that story, they basically admitted that the facts of that case leave some questions as far as whether or not he's going to be able to, you know, use his defense as basically saying he was trying to protect himself. Anyway, we'll get to more of that here coming up. Selena Zito as well.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, you know, for the past 3 years, we've touched base a lot with Selena Zito, who is a columnist with the Washington Examiner and CNN political commentator, also the author of The Great Revolt. And we're going to do that again this afternoon because Pennsylvania is a big state. Her state of Pennsylvania and these other key states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, you know, those are the key states in this race. And all of a sudden, Joe Biden has decided he cares about law and order. Listen to this. He was in Pittsburgh today talking about law and order.
This president long ago forfeited any moral leadership in this country. He can't stop the violence because for years he's fomented it. You know, he may believe mouthing the words law and order makes him strong, but his failure to call on his own supporters to stop acting as an armed militia in this country shows how weak he is.
Selena Zito with me this afternoon. Two of the key campaign advisors, Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon, advised Joe Biden's campaign last week. Hey, the polling is showing you better get on this law and order thing, right, Selena?
That was pretty funny, right? they did advise him to get onto the law and order thing, and the president warned about it in the his convention last week. He said, you know, you're going to see this happen, and he was right, and it was to a lot of Democrats breathing a sigh of relief out here. But you know, it's hard to tell if this is going to penetrate because, you know, people are much more, they're not gullible anymore, right? Especially if you're swing voter, your undecided voter. They're very intent about understanding everything. And they're not going to be persuaded by someone who didn't say anything until the poll said you should. You know, gone are the days where you were able to say, change your mind, because nobody knew what the poll said. Now nobody knows what every poll says. And so I'm really interested to see if he benefits from this newfound strength on law and order.
It is crazy that this election is 9 weeks from tomorrow. So that's going to come up on us pretty quick. I would think law and order is going to be a pretty big part of this campaign, although the narrative does change so quickly. We don't know what's going to happen even in the next couple of weeks. But let's talk about Pennsylvania and, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin, where some of these polls have tightened up just a little bit in the aftermath of the convention last week. So how do you see this playing out? What is this election going to be about right now, especially in a state like yours?
Well, if you would ask me in January, I would have said impeachment. If you asked me in February, I said the economy. From March until June, I still would say COVID. And since June and July, I would say on social unrest. And I thought that social unrest benefited Biden in the early days of the protests. But now with, you know, a combination of the endless protests and, you know, they're in towns all across the country. And every town is looking at Kenosha as sort of the everyman, right? Like, that's what my town looks like. Like, my town looks like that. And whether you live in North Carolina or Florida or Pennsylvania or Michigan or Ohio, you are seeing your town. You're seeing your town in Kenosha. And those protests that are happening in your town every night, there, by the grace of God, could your town go? And so that is concerning to people. And so I would say at this moment, how social unrest is dealt with by each candidate is going to be the lion's share, that and jobs. But, you know, it depends on how each of them prosecute their argument about this. I mean, I saw, you know, here in Pittsburgh, Biden was here today, and he came out full-throated for fracking. And I'm like, oh, my God, is there going to be a climate change protest? Because, I mean, the head of his climate change task force is AOC and Bernie Sanders. And his vice presidential pick said that she would demand that that fracking was banned on day one. So I'm wondering if people are going to protest in the streets about that.
Well, you know, you kind of say that tongue in cheek, but obviously when the president says things that are not factual, and let's face it, he does that quite a bit, much too much for my liking. But when Joe Biden says something like that, look, there's all kinds of fact checking you can do when he says I'm not against fracking, because he's actually said that I'm not against fracking, because he has said on the record and agreed with Bernie that he is going to stop fracking. So what do you believe?
Right. Yeah. Who are you? What are you talking about? And I also think it was like sort of fascinating that he was at an additive manufacturing plant. Now, if you don't know what an additive manufacturing is, it's 3D printing. So there's essentially three people working in a huge plant. This is not a jobs creator. Yes, it is the new form of manufacturing, but it's not the kind. This was sort of a backdrop for the technocrats, not for the people who work with their hands.
So, you know, Selena, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was not in the camp that thought this could potentially happen. You saw the tea leaves and you wrote about it in The Great Revolt. And, you know, here I see a lot of people in the last couple of days saying, hey, aren't we kind of back to where we were 4 years ago with all these predictions that Trump doesn't have a chance? Right. And some of the same conditions are also occurring. Now, having said that, we're still told repeatedly that, you know, the suburban women or whatever else might be happening in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, that the polling is just overwhelmingly in favor of Joe Biden and that Trump can't win this thing. So where do you come down on this right now? Are you as confident as you were in 2016?
I would argue that not all suburbs are created equal. So suburban women who live a very transient life. You know, they live in D.C., they live in New York, they live in the suburbs of Virginia. They're very different than a suburban voter in, say, Erie, Pennsylvania, or Kenosha, Wisconsin, or Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Not Pittsburgh proper, but suburbs. Those suburban women, the ones that live in Pittsburgh and Kenosha and Erie and Mahoning County, Ohio, they may have the same education as their sisters in Northern Virginia, but their exposure and their interaction and their rootedness to a blue-collar life puts them to favor Trump more than Biden because of his promises to save their communities, whereas Joe Biden talks about climate change. And when you live in Mahoning County, Ohio suburb, you're not thinking about climate change every day. You're thinking about your schools, you're thinking about your community, you're thinking about jobs. And so you are more likely to vote for Trump. So the suburban woman thing is, you know, I would say that this is a very tight race. I would put Pennsylvania at about a plus one for Biden. Based, I just did all 67 counties. I would say that Wisconsin is moving towards Trump, and that Michigan is stubbornly stuck with Biden ahead a little bit. Ohio is essentially gone. That is going to be a strong Trump state. I would even argue that Florida is probably going to be an easier get than maybe Michigan. So, you know, I think that's where we are right now. I think today we're in a tie race, and I don't think that Biden has the lopsided numbers that polls reflect. You know, in our book, The Great Revolt, we interviewed self-identified Trump voters after the election. 34% of them said they would not tell a family member, friend, or a pollster how they were going to, that they were going to vote for Trump. I suspect that number might be double.
Yeah. Right. I think you're right about that. It's at least maybe 25% higher than it was last time. Salita Zito, the author of The Great Revolt. We're going to be checking in here. We're going to see. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens here. I'll be very curious. And I don't know. Do you hold on to a theory that the debates are going to make a big difference or not?
I think that they're going to make, I think they're going to make a big difference. I think that everyone in the political class, that Trump lost them, but the people that were voting thought that he won it. So I think geography matters in elections, and that's why I think we should have more people that report on the news live outside of D.C. and New York, like me.
And on that, yeah, like we have agreed on that many times. Salita Zito, you can find out more at SalitaZito.com. Find her stuff on Twitter and at the Washington Examiner. Salita, always great to have you on. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
All right, welcome back. 253, a Monday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. We have a woman who wants Amazon to change the name of Alexa because there are people named Alexa, like my daughter. So I'm going to give that a little attention. I don't think it's going to work, but we'll have some fun with that coming up. Look, I think that the American people are not as stupid as the CNN, the New York Times, the St. Louis Post Dispatches of the world want you to believe. And they know that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party stands for one thing usually, and then all of a sudden they try to change the narrative like they are in the looting. But let's get to fracking here. We talk with Salita about that. So Joe's going to have to explain this. This is what he said to, you know, Bernie Sanders, his position with Bernie Sanders, his position now on fracking is a little different.
No more, no new fracking. We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
Well, like, what about, say, stopping fracking and stopping new pipes?
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate with you, okay?
Ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period. Ends, number one.
Three consecutive American presidents have enjoyed stints of explosive economic growth due to a boom in oil and natural gas production. As president, would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers, in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
So, look, in normal circumstances, if Joe Biden were a president, here's what would happen if Donald Trump made a speech in Pittsburgh and declared that he was, you know, for fracking after having a long litany of comments where he has opposed fracking and fossil fuels in order to play to the far left, you know, extreme of his party. So you'd have, for example, little packages, they call those television packages, on the NBC Nightly News or the CBS Evening News or on CBS This Morning. It would show Joe Biden's position on fracking from today in Pittsburgh, and then they would show how repeatedly he has said that he's against fracking. That won't happen here in this particular case, though, because Joe Biden is protected by the media. So you can say one thing and then say something else, and if you're the Democratic presidential hopeful, it's not going to matter. I'm going to give you another example here. I was going to try to get more more information out. So now you have this ticket, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris talking about law and order. You know, they're on the side of law and order. Kamala Harris is the same person who raised money with the Minnesota Freedom Fund in the aftermath of George Floyd to bail out the protesters. And there was a television station that committed a flagrant act of journalism in Minneapolis, and they looked at the people who were bailed out. Amongst them, a guy who shot at police, a woman accused of killing a friend, and a twice convicted sex offender. So, look, they're making the ads for Donald J. Trump. So is the NBA and the rest of professional sports. He's just got to kind of sit back and take advantage. But, of course, he won't do that. He'll tweet something, and then everyone focuses on that. Second hour of the show is coming up next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.